think I'd recognize the intro music by now. I just turned over to Scraby and I'm like, is this us? Are we on? Scraby's like, didn't even have to answer me. He knew.
No, I mean,
what a dumb question that was. I mean, you play this every day of our lives, and when, you know, when the music starts, we're supposed to talk.
Yeah, but I think.
But I look over at you and I'm like, what? Are we on? What? What's going on?
I think today.
What's happening?
I'm a little bit behind. 2 p.m. definitely snuck up on me today. We have about 4 minutes to get everyone in and out of the studio and set up and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a little behind the scenes that that people, you know, probably don't care about. But
no, I think they do. I think they like hearing it.
By the time Craig and Annie get out quickly, let's not try to make it seem like we're upset at them. Now, Braden Soprenna, he lags. Braden Soprenna takes forever to get out
goodness.
Of the studio.
So you know Braden, times I have to tell him to get up.
If Braden's listening or anybody knows Braden, tell him he takes forever to get out
forever.
Of here. And that's where you have to sit. So that's basically what puts you behind.
Yeah.
You know, Braden, we love you, but you take way too long to get out of the
today,
studio.
Today, I can't even blame Braden for it.
No, not today. He was out quickly today, but there are times when Braden lags. Annie's out quick. Craig's out quick. Yep. So we have, but it takes time to, you know, sign back onto the computer.
And Braden has more to do over here. Too.
Oh, whatever.
No,
don't make any excuses for him.
He has to do the podcasting.
Don't make any
excuses
for him. No excuses for Braden.
I will stand up for my fellow producer.
No excuses for the man I like to call BS. Braden Soprenna. Nah, he knows I'm a fan. Yeah, but you're right. It takes us a few minutes to get organized and get in here, and just enough basically for me to sign on to the YouTube video.
Yep.
And then like the music's playing and it's like time to talk. So we shall talk. Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. 2:02 is now the time. Tony Gwynn Jr. idle today. But let's make it clear. Tony is being the great dad today.
He got kind of mad at me.
He's flying. Yeah, well, because you said he was on vacation again.
Well, I didn't want to give away what he was doing, so I said vacation because that was the most open-ended, easy thing.
You made him sound like he's just, you know.
A freeloader. He's just taken off in the middle of spring training.
Yes, since you're a freeloader who eats the free meals at games, you now think that Tony's a freeloader who takes off in the middle of the thing.
I didn't mean anything by it, but he made sure to let me know I needed to clear that up before.
Yes, he wanted to make sure. But he's just playing in the. He's playing the great dad. I mean, how many dads would fly to Florida for a 5-day soccer tournament?
A lot.
I know most of you would.
But
most
how many
of you
dads
would. But
would just completely turn their back on
their teammates. I might fly for a 5-day softball tournament. 5 days of straight soccer. Woo! That would be testing me. I must admit.
probably
more than one game a day too.
At least it's in a better frequency than MLS, where you have to wait every week. You have to. Because
we could probably watch. You're right. We could probably watch Tony's daughter's tournament easier than I can watch the SDFC match this weekend in Salt Lake City. But that's another story. So Tony will be a playing dad for the next few days. We will take over for him here. We have a good show for you today. Scraby's actually been hard at work for a change.
Okay.
He's got Matt Snyder of CBS Sports coming on the show. In this 2 o'clock hour, plenty of baseball to discuss, of course, with Matt. And we got Michael Flix later on for you high school basketball fans. They're into the state playoffs now. And I believe I saw somewhere that San Diego teams, all of the teams that are in the state playoffs, were 7-10 in their first round state playoff games. That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's almost 500. Remember, the high school teams in L.A. and in Orange County, for the longest time, just thought San Diego is like their little, you know,
little brother.
Yeah, sister. Just beat up on them, and when they get to the state tournament, and that used to be what happened. San Diego teams would get in there against Orange County teams or L.A. teams, and they would have trouble advancing. But that's not the case anymore. So we'll catch up on the San Diego high school basketball scene as the state playoffs get underway with our guy, Michael Flix. That's in the 5 o'clock hour. Before we get to all of that, though, Scraby.
Yes?
Sweet move by the San Diego Padres today.
Oh, you like it.
Love this move. Even though I called him Julio Iglesias, who I believe is a famous singer.
I think it is.
I think he's the son of Enrique Iglesias is the son of Julio Iglesias, if I'm not mistaken. But no, it's Jose Iglesias, who the Padres signed to a minor league contract today. I'm a fan of this move. First of all, you've got nothing to lose. If he doesn't make the team, he doesn't make the team. If he makes the team, you give him very little money, $3 million. And I'll tell you one thing. If Jose Iglesias is anything close to what he was last year with the New York Mets, $3 million is going to be a bargain and then some. This guy plays great defense, like gold glove level defense in the middle infield, second base or shortstop. Now, I know that, you know, he could play third also, give Manny a day off. And I know Bogarts has got short. But if Jose Iglesias makes this team and hits anywhere close to 337.
I'll take 290.
I would take 290. His career average is 283. So that's just
not too far off.
That's level par is 283. He slashed 337, 381, 448. His OPS was over 800. For a middle infielder.
What's the catch here, Chris? Because this
there's no catch.
But this seems like this guy is good enough that there's
a catch. He's 35. He's 35 years old.
Doesn't seem like a catch to me. After last year, coming off that type of season.
All right, here's the other catch. He was only playing because the Mets had a major injury to their second baseman, Jeff McNeil.
Yeah.
And without that, Jose Iglesias probably would have just faded into the daylight. He was signed to a minor league contract by the Mets last offseason, did not make the team opening day.
Yeah.
He did not make the team. But when they had injuries after the first month or so of the season, third base, I think they had Brent Beatty starting at third base last year. This was before Mark Vientos became a thing. And McNeil got hurt. They needed second base, third base. They brought up Iglesias, and the rest was history. I mean, the reaction to this signing ought to just be this: OMG! Do you remember the OMG thing?
Of course.
Do you know who came up with it?
Was it him?
Jose Iglesias came up with it. He came up with the whole thing.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's why I said what I said.
I figured you were just linking him with OMG.
I know you. No, he has to be linked to OMG because he was OMG.
Yeah.
He was the spiritual leader of the Mets last year.
That is huge.
I mean, he was.
They made a huge run. They went all the way to the NLCS.
They were the darlings of the whole thing. And when I saw, you know, when you go back to some of these games late in the regular season where they had to beat Atlanta right at the end to get into the playoffs, and then in the first round when they played Milwaukee, and then the next round when they upset the Phillies, it seemed like Iglesias was coming up every time, and every time he was coming through.
Yeah.
So he was the spiritual leader of the Mets. So for risking nothing, this is excellent move. Excellent move. There's nothing wrong with this in any way, shape, or form. I mean, when you got an 830 OPS, I grant you that's 200 points higher than, or 100 points higher than his norm, but this is a 280 hitter who can play excellent defense. Second base, shortstop, third base. If he is, you know, anything at all like he was last year, you can even put him at second base and move Jake to first, and you now become excellent defensively just by that one move. You know, Arise would have to DH. But that's, look, it could all be nothing. He could end up not making the team, and things just go on the way they go on.
I don't think it's going to be that case for some reason. Here's another thing that I love about it. I guess last month he was talking to the New York Post, and he said that the loss to the Dodgers in the NLCS left a bad taste in his mouth. And he said he hurts because we started something that definitely isn't finished. This is him talking about going back to the Mets. But what I'm saying is he has the fire to beat the Dodgers. That's a great thing.
Doesn't like the Dodgers.
I love that.
Well, let's give him $4 million then. That's an extra million.
Especially after watching rookie Sasaki last night. I'm hoping that.
Yeah.
I said this on the Scraby Show last night, Chris.
What'd you say?
This is not going to go well for me cheering against Roki Sasaki because he looked incredible last night.
All right, he struck out five in three innings.
It's spring training.
Yeah.
But he struck out five in three innings.
All right, he also walked two. He hit a batter. He had a wild pitch. And okay. He gave up a couple of hits.
All right, thank you for that.
So he didn't go 15 up, 15 down with 14 strikeouts.
You're right. Thank you for that.
Was it a good debut? Yes. Was it unbelievable? No, it wasn't perfection.
But anyway, back to Jose Iglesias. He wants to beat the Dodgers, and I love that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. One team, look, he may want to beat the Dodgers, but the team he needs to worry about helping the Padres beat is the stupid Rockies. Even in spring training, the Rockies are beating the Padres today 2-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Charlie Blackman's not even there. Like, what the heck?
It's unbelievable. I mean, they can't touch the Rockies. Antonio Senzatella shut out the Padres for three innings today. And now two relievers have come in and shut down the Padres. These are Rockies relievers, okay? This has been the way it's always gone. Michael King started for the Padres today. Two innings. He struck out three. Nothing wrong with King. The other, I think good note so far today, Robert Suarez, after a bad outing a couple of days ago, back in there today with an inning and two strikeouts. But, other than that, again, it's 2-0 Rockies. They're in the seventh inning. We'll see how that turns out in Peoria as far as spring training action is concerned. By the way, if anybody wants to know how stupid records are in spring training, just know that the Rockies are currently 9-3. They're never going to be that again.
I guess you can only fight for one championship per year.
And the Rockies are going for the spring, yeah. Yeah. Dick Monfort probably will give them rings if they win the Cactus League title.
Oh, that would be great if he gave them little cactus rings. That would be amazing.
Little paper mache rings for winning the
spring. Oh, yeah, he's not buying real rings.
Oh,
are
God,
you
no,
me?
He's not going to spend any money
on
it.
He's just giving spider rings to people.
He may have his five-year-old daughter design it and make them at home herself so to save money. All right, we're underway. A good start to the proceedings. I think, the Iglesias, I'm happy with that. I think most people are. I don't think that's going to be
fans are very happy because they've been telling me for months to sign this guy.
I don't think there's a bone of contention anywhere with the Padres picking up Jose Iglesias. That's the sweet news of the day. When we come back, today's sour note as Gwen and Chris gets underway on 97.3.
Man, I'm going to cry in this break.
I hate
break.
To bring everybody
why,
down.
Why don't you just let me ride high in this break and then bring me down in the next segment, Chris?
Sourness is coming up.
I think he can play second, short, and third very well. So that's a benefit of what we know coming in. This guy's a proven defender regardless where you put him.
Did you run into him at all in 2023 when he was in the
Orioles? I did not. No, I did not get the chance to come across him, but I've competed against him in Cincinnati and primarily and seen him across the field last year in New York and in Colorado. So there's familiarity there and respect there.
Mike Schilt is happy to have Jose Iglesias signed to a minor league contract earlier today. I was just ecstatic, Scraby. Because anytime we got a four-hour show and Tony's off tending to his daughters playing soccer, the Padres signing a player is a good thing.
It's huge.
Like, if they could just spread this out and do about one a day for the next couple of weeks, we'd appreciate it.
I think, was Tony on vacation when they signed Nick Pivetta?
I think he was, yeah. That saved us as well. I think you were the guy on Pivetta. I think it was after
I did break the news. Thank you.
Yeah, you had you broke the thing on the on the Scraby Chronicles. You were all over that.
But apparently, when Tony is not on the show,
things happen. Yeah, well, that's maybe we should send him away more often.
Well, he's going to be gone the rest of the week, so maybe some more stuff's going to happen.
Yeah, if the Padres, if you guys wouldn't mind over there at the Padre offices. Do not announce more than one signing per day.
Yes, please spread it out for us.
One per day would be appreciated.
Would be
it'd be very much appreciated. All right, that's the sweet news of the day. The sour news, the Aztecs basketball last night at UNLV. They fell 74-67. A couple of things. Number one, straight up, this hurts their chances for the NCAA tournament. That's the biggest deal here. I don't agree that they should necessarily be on the bubble. They beat Houston, Creighton. They've beaten Boise twice. They beat New Mexico. They've had a great season. They have a tournament pedigree. They've been to the Sweet 16 each of the last 2 years. I believe that they shouldn't necessarily be on the bubble, but what I believe doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is they're on the bubble, and they are now squarely on the bubble. And this doesn't decide it, but I'll just give you an example of what last night's loss did. ESPN Analytics, before the game yesterday, had them 70% chance to go to the tournament. After the loss, 55%. That's a major drop.
That is a big drop.
And they now have to win Saturday night at home over Nevada. If they lose that game, the final game, I think they're almost out unless they win the conference tournament.
Yeah.
So they cannot lose to Nevada. And I will also say that now that they're probably going to be in the 4-5 quarterfinal, 4-seed, 5-seed quarterfinal in the Mountain West tournament, they better win that game too. Because whoever they play in that game is also going to be trying to get into the NCAA tournament. It looks like they would match up in the 4-5 with either Colorado State or Boise State. Well, those two teams want to get into the tournament as well. So the Aztecs now put themselves in a situation where they really better win their next two games. And even then, I'm going to be on the edge of my seat when they make the announcement on Selection Sunday. So that's the first thing. That's the big picture. As far as the game itself is concerned, I know you said you didn't get a chance to see it.
I read a lot about it this morning.
Here's what drove me nuts.
Tell me.
The kid on UNLV.
The number, big man?
No, not the big man. The big man dunked the ball. Big deal. I'm not impressed by that. You know, you throw him the ball right under the basket. I think he should be able to dunk the ball. That doesn't do anything for me. The kid on UNLV, number 20, Julian Rishwain, averages 9 points a game.
And he had
shoots 38% from the field, except for last night. Career high, 26, and 6 of 9 from 3. Mm. The guy could not miss. Scraby, he was throwing in blindfolded shots with two guys.
Oh, he was Buddy Boeheim-ing them?
It was the Boeheim thing all over again. He could not miss. And I don't know this for sure because I couldn't tell on TV, but it sure looked to me like every time he made a three, he immediately stared down the Aztec bench.
That's a technical.
Evidently not, because maybe that's not what he was doing, because I wasn't at the game to put it in, you know, context.
Yes.
But it sure looked to me like every time this guy made a three, his eyes made a beeline for the Aztec bench, and I just wanted to wring his neck, and then he went out there and hit another three. And then he drove to the basket, drew a defender, passed it for a dunk. He could do no wrong in this game. It was just
laughing because it's kind of hilarious.
It is. It was so annoying. It drove me nuts. So that's the thing, number one, why I was sour about the game. And number two, this has been the story all year for the Aztecs basketball team. And I have a feeling when... And I'm going to say when, because I still believe they're going to get into the NCAA tournament. I believe in these kids and the coaching staff. But when they get to the NCAA tournament, I really believe their final undoing of the year, whatever game you know it is that they get beat, is going to be because they cannot play defense without fouling. They just get called for too many fouls. In the second half last night, they were out of fouls, meaning they had already committed 16 fouls.
That's a lot.
With 16 and a half minutes still left in the game. That means that for 16 and a half minutes, every other foul you commit sends the other team to the free throw line. What does that do to you as a team? You can't defend. You have to get your hands off. You can't do what you want to do because they get themselves into foul trouble every time. And I blame the officials as much as anybody else has, but there comes a time when you have to stop blaming the officials and you have to look at you in the mirror and say, we have got to stop fouling. And here's the other thing. Of the six fouls, and this is just the second half, they were out of fouls in the first half, you know, pretty early as well. But of the six fouls I saw in the second half, at least four of them were committed 30 feet from the basket. There's just no reason to even foul. You got guys dribbling the ball 30 feet from the basket, and you're bumping them and reaching in and giving the ref a chance to call a foul. Stop it. Now, if you pick up six fouls because the team's driving to the rim and trying to dunk on you and you go up to contest the shot, that's one thing. But if you're just picking up fouls by bumping guys out on the perimeter, that's so annoying and frustrating. I know it's hurting everything they want to do after that, because now you're out of fouls and you can't play defense the rest of the game.
I read some things after the game that slightly concerned me, because Miles Bird, do you have their box score in front of you? Number one, what did they shoot from free throw last night?
Free throwing shooting was another issue.
See, that's my first thing I always say. You got to make your free throws.
It's one of the things. They were 12 of 20. But
that's not terrible, but it's not good. It's eight points right there that would have won the game.
12 for 20. UNLV was also 12 for 20. So it didn't hurt them in that regard. Both teams were equally bad.
All right. Good point.
But where the teams were not equal was in three-point shooting, led by Rish Wayne, the guy who could do no wrong. UNLV was 12 for 24. That's 50% for those of math majors out there.
I'm looking at theirs.
7 for 29,
that's
24%.
That's the difference.
You can't win a game like that on the road.
Well, here's what concerned me a little bit. Miles Bird said after the game they knew what was up.
Yeah.
They knew the stakes. They knew that they had to win this game. They didn't perform.
And then Brian
Dutcher said after that he didn't want to make any excuse, but he said that they look slow. They look tired. They look lethargic.
Here's one more trick of the gods in the Mountain West Conference. It's not an excuse. It's a fact. They played in Laramie on Saturday.
I saw this too.
Their flight home was delayed till the next day because of mechanical issues.
Oh, my goodness.
They had to spend an extra day in Laramie, which saps you because you're in the altitude.
Yeah.
They got home Sunday, had to turn around Monday and go to Las Vegas and play Tuesday. Those are things that other schools in the country who don't ever go to Laramie don't have to worry about.
No, that's true.
It's not an excuse. It's a fact. And it may have showed itself last night.
Did they fly the same exact plane that you flew?
It might have been the same. I guess, no kidding. We had a terrible flight to Laramie as well, but I do believe we got home, you know, at the right time.
That's two flights now at Laramie that had mechanical issues that changed things.
Yes, you're right. Remember, ours was because the bathroom was broken. You couldn't go to the bathroom on the flight.
Just hand me some trash bags. We're going home.
We're going home. Yeah, Laramie, you know, they won in Laramie, but it may have cost them last night in Las Vegas. All right. I was sour. I'm still a little sour because I always get sour.
You know
what?
In this case, Chris, I don't blame you.
I was a little bit mad too. I can't stand Rish Wayne. Rish Wayne.
The name Rish Wayne sounds like
just enough to bother you right there, isn't it?
When I was a drunk, I used to call my uncle Rich Richard. Richard. And it sounds like that. Rish Wayne.
Rish Wayne.
Rish Wayne.
Oh, the guy was unconscious, Scraby. I mean, just insane.
Someone mentioned he looked like Jimmer Fredette last night.
Jimmer Fredette all over again. But, you know, Jimmer used to actually shoot threes from the logo. Rish Wayne was not shooting from the logo, but he was hitting everything.
But yet he was staring them down because he had the best game of his career. Calm down, Rish Wayne. Let's see what you do next game.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Now I'm angry, Chris.
I was angry, man. The guy's staring us down. I didn't like it at all.
Not a fair
and
of that.
And there wasn't anything we could do because he went down and hit another three. So he had the last laugh last night. More Gwynn and Chris coming up. Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com. He'll join us in just a moment. I'm looking at, I'm a little over the world. You know, you get on my case because I go to ESPN for stuff too often.
Yes.
Right? You don't like that about me?
Correct.
I'm trying to change it.
Whoa.
I'm actually getting a little annoyed at the arrogance of, you know, Lenardi and some
the arrogance.
Of, yeah, that they think they know everything and everybody goes to
but
them.
But that's what they're paid to do.
I know. But they're not as good at it as people like Jerry Palm on CBS. He does a better bracket. He's more accurate.
You could say that, but I don't think it means Joe Lunardi has arrogance.
Arrogant, I say. Anyway, checking up on Lunardi.
So what other websites are you going to?
That's about it.
Oh my goodness. I have my morning websites. ESPN, CBS Sports, MLB.com, and right. Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report.
And then sign on San Diego. That was a long time ago. San Diego Union Tribune.
I'm trying to see if the Aztecs are even in the field at Jerry Palm right now. Yes, they are. Last four in now. So they're on that's the bubble of bubbles right there
that
from Jerry
the
Palm.
Bubble of bubbles.
And, you know, one of the other teams there is Boise State. Well, I mentioned they could play them in the 4-5, you know, tournament game. Guess what? That could be a winner take all right there. You know, winner goes in, loser goes home.
It could be.
So the Aztecs have put themselves in a precarious position, or better yet, Rish Wayne has put them in a precarious position.
Oh, I love that name, actually.
I hate Rish Wayne.
Rish Wayne.
Don't know anything about him, but I'm not a fan.
Yeah, me neither.
Drove me crazy last night.
Got me all pumped up.
If you're just tuned in, Padres do have a new guy, Jose Iglesias, veteran infielder, second base. Last year played second base for the Mets in the playoffs. He was their second baseman with Jeff McNeil hurt. Iglesias had an unbelievable year, 337. For those who keep track of such stuff, he was a 3.1 in the WAR, which I guess for only playing 85 games
is really good.
Is incredible.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know anything about WAR, but
I know.
I'm told that that's like very impressive.
You know, I think I painted myself into a corner, Chris, because we went on that whole WAR thing last year with Paul Skeens and Jackson Merrill. And then when I try to reference WAR, I think I'm a complete hypocrite because I'm telling everybody about WAR when I said that WAR doesn't matter.
WAR
I think
doesn't
I painted
matter.
Myself into a corner.
I'm going to tell you why WAR doesn't matter, because the top rookie in the National League for most of last season in WAR was Mason Wynn, who finished about 10th in the Rookie of the Year balloting, where he should have finished. There you go.
All right. Thank you for that.
Jose Iglesias, by the way, was the guy. He actually wrote a song that was called OMG.
Yeah.
What started the whole thing.
I think we might have to play it a little bit later.
Okay. In the Mets clubhouse. And then they had the big, remember they had the big OMG sign?
I remember. They also had Grimace. They had a lot of great things.
They had a few things
year.
Going on last year. But Iglesias was the heartbeat of the Mets last year. Hopefully he'll make it on the Padres roster. He signs a minor league deal today. Padres trailing the Rockies spring training 4-1. They're going to the bottom of the ninth in Peoria. All right. We are excited, sorry, as always.
Can you guys hear? No one can hear me when I'm talking to them.
I barely hear you over there.
But
I know
I'm not
you have
going
to get,
out over the airwaves.
I don't think so. Okay, no, good. You have to talk to our guests to make sure they're on the air. I get that. And we are pleased to have our guy Matt Snyder from CBS Sports on with us to talk some baseball. Matt, how are you today, sir? How's March?
I'm great.
Yeah.
Pretty good so far, but hey, IU lost last night, so I was in a bad mood today.
See, our schools make us sour.
Yeah,
I just did a whole thing on the Aztecs losing last night to Vegas, and Indiana's in a similar spot as the Aztecs. They're trying to get in on the bubble, so a loss is hurtful this time of year. Sorry to hear that, Matt.
I'm getting used to it, though. So unfortunately,
all right, you do have 1976 to fall back on. Although that might have been BS before Snyder.
It was.
Yeah.
I was in second grade in 1987.
Second grade. Oh, 87. That's right. They won again in 87. Key Smart with the shot. All right. Let's get to some baseball here. The guys who think they know everything over at ESPN gave the Padres offseason a D grade. They cited, you know, the inactivity. They cited not getting Sasaki. They cited losing quite a few players off last year's squad. Do you think D is a fair off-season grade for the Padres? I mean, just being honest about it.
Maybe. Like, you're just – when you're that close, you're on the cusp. You know, it's 2022 NLCS. 2024, one game away from getting rid of the Dodgers, who ended up winning the World Series. No World Series championships, kind of feels like the time to be aggressive. And with the ownership situation at a crossroads, obviously the front office is trying to juggle a lot of things, but if you just look at, do they actually look better than last year? I don't know that you can say that they do. So I understand being that hard on them.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, I mean, look, here's the thing that a lot of people are glossing over in San Diego. I'll be honest with you, because I think people are pretty happy with, you know, Pivetta and, you know, hopefully, you know, between Jason Hayward and Connor Joe and, you know, whoever these other guys are playing left field, they're all having good springs. You know, they'll be able to make up some ground. Now they get Iglesias today. So people are kind of, you know, a little fired up about that. But replacing Profar and Higashioka and Joe Musgrove's hurt and Tanner Scott out of your bullpen and Ha-Seong Kim at shortstop. And I mean, these are a lot of good players that every team in baseball would have trouble replacing, right?
Especially with the year Profar had. I mean, he was so, so good in so many big spots. He felt like, he's not a superstar or anything like that, but he felt like one of those glue guys.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. And you got 158 games out of him. That's a lot of work to try to replace a glue guy like that. So that felt like a big one. And, you know, Higgy is, again, to get that kind of work out of a part-time catcher, the 17 home runs right there alone, that's a lot to replace in a backup catcher. Most hit like three.
Yeah,
so
right.
you're talking about, like, you're there's a loss in production. There's shortfall in production right there. So I can understand the concerns for sure. But, you know, by the same token, there's a lot of talent here. There's still a lot of talent. And it's not like everything went perfectly last year. And I know that so many national people, he's one of the first guys they think of, so I'm sorry, but Fernando Tatis Jr. still is better than he's been playing. We know he has more talent than this. He's still capable of being a top five MVP candidate. So if he gets back to that level, if Manny Machado plays more like 2023 instead of 24, that helps to make up for a lot of that lost production. And look how good Jackson Merrill was last year. There's always a chance he has another gear in him. You never know. So there are, it's, and again, we'll go back to a big name, Xander Bogaerts. He's probably past his prime, but you know, it's 32. He's not 40. So there are ways on the roster to say this guy could be better. Cronenworth. Another one's Cronenworth. You've seen him play better before, and he's not too old. So there are ways within the roster to say, yeah, there's lost production, but some of the guys that are on the team still can pick up the slack.
Agreed.
Talking to Matt Snyder of CBS Sports here about the Padres, about spring training, and left field for the Padres is going to be a platoon because you said it, Jerickson Profar now in Atlanta, they needed to fill that spot, and it looks like it's going to start as a platoon between Connor Joe and Jason Hayward. My question is, do platoons in your mind work, or do they need to have someone who is more often than not going to be playing left field?
Well, you probably will, right? Just by virtue of most pitchers are right-handed, so that makes Jason Hayward the kind of the everyday player, even though they're going to sub in Connor Joe against lefties. Yes, if deployed properly, and if there are guys who have drastic enough splits, or it doesn't even have to be drastic, but if it's a situation where the hitter is definitely a good hitter against right-handers, but really terrible against lefties, or vice versa. Yes, it can absolutely work. I don't know how much more offensively there is to Jason Hayward at this point in his career.
Yeah.
But to have him only play against righties and to have him play defense in left field, I think that he can still be a good defensive player out there. He's always been fundamentally sound and a smart player, so he will be good on the bases. You're going to get a low average, but he might still still occasionally run into one against right-handed pitching for a home run. So they're toward the bottom of the order. It can work fine. We've seen flashes of Connor Joe with the stick. I think that they can be adequate, but I wouldn't bet on much better than that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, and you hit it right on the head, Matt. I mean, these guys, they have, you know, these star players, and every single one of them actually could be better than they were a year ago. The one I'm going to be honest with you, Matt, that I'm worried about, he gives me personally no reason to worry, but the world of a rookie going into the second year, always worries me. And Corbin Carroll was a pretty good example of it, I hate to say, last
terrible
year.
Terrible first half. So, like, he woke up in the second half.
So what does Jackson Merrill do to prevent it from happening? It seems like he's doing everything right. This kid works his butt off. But, man, these sophomore jinx or whatever you call it, it's just kind of in the back of my mind.
Well, that stems from, I'm not a big superstition guy as it is in terms of analyzing, but it stems from the league just saw the kid for the first time, and they had a whole year to see what he's good at. Maybe in the off season, there's a lot of ways to scout, to look for holes, and then he gets approached differently in the second year, and he has to adjust to the adjustments that the league made to him. But nowadays, there's so much scouting, there's so much technology, I kind of feel like it's shortened, it's compacted into where you might be exposed 2 months into your rookie year for 3 or 4 weeks, and then you have coaches helping you to adjust to the adjustments that the league made to you, and I kind of feel like he's probably already weathered that. Carroll, for me, there might have been some World Series hangover there in terms of it was the first full season of his big league career, then he had to play an additional nearly 20 games in the playoffs, then it shortened, plus he had all those shoulder injuries. I think that was a confluence of events, and there was much more to it than just it's the league getting another look at him and having reacted. With Merrill, there isn't much like that. There are a few extra playoff games, but not a whole month of them, and teams would have already been looking to make adjustments to him, and he's already faced one of the best teams at advanced scouting in the league, and the Dodgers a lot of times, including in the playoffs. So I think he's probably already seen everything that they're going to throw at him. So yeah, I mean, there's always a possibility that he won't be as good, but I wouldn't be overly worried about it. So hopefully I quelled your concerns a little bit.
You did. I feel quelled. Right. Quelled. Thank you.
It's not easy to quell Chris, let me tell you.
Not an easy thing to do.
We're talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com here on 97.3 The Fan. And I was reading some articles. You did a Snyder soapbox. I want to get to that later with the automated balls and strikes system. But you also, with all of your CBS Sports coworkers, put together a list of 5 teams that made the playoffs last year that are likely or may not make the playoffs this year. Padres were on the list. How much do you really think the Padres are going to miss the playoffs?
I didn't have a hand in that.
We know Matt's a Padre guy.
Oh, RJ did do that one specifically. You're right. You're right. Sorry to leave you in.
But I would let's see. So, okay. Phillies, Braves, Mets. I think all three of those teams are going to make the playoffs, even though I think the Nationals are going to be better than last year and are going to push them a little more. I think all three of those teams are going to make the playoffs. Dodgers are obviously going to win the West. Sorry. You're going to have a division winner from the Central. So you're left with one playoff team. I think the Diamondbacks are better than they were last year, and they won 89 games last year. You're right in that range then. So it's either, Padres or Diamondbacks, or you're knocking out one of the teams from the East, which is possible. By no means is it impossible. The Padres won 4 more games than both the Braves and the Mets last year. But I will say I would feel better about your chances if you were on the American League side. The AL is way weaker than the National League. The NL is very tough with these playoff-caliber teams. I think the Padres are absolutely going to be in the mix. I will not be surprised if they miss the playoffs. I will not be surprised if they make it.
Yeah, it's a crowded field.
That's a fair answer.
It's a very fair answer. It's a crowded field. All right, we don't have a time to get back to you.
Okay,
so
you
ask him about the...
you take my great question.
Yes, I'm quelled over here. I'm in good shape. The balls and strikes thing, you've loved it. I got to say, as an old curmudgeon, I haven't hated it, but I wish it didn't happen.
You have hated this thing.
No, I haven't hated
it. You said, why do we need to be perfect?
That's what I said. I don't think we need it.
But we don't with this system.
But with this, I haven't actually hated the actual procedure that's taking place before my eyes. Matt, you're good with it, yes?
So, okay, when they first started talking about, when people refer to it as robot umps, and they tried it in the league. Is it the Atlantic? No, it's one of the leagues that the Major League Baseball, it's not affiliated with Major League Baseball. It's an independent league, but they try it out.
I think it might be the Atlantic. I remember
it might be. It's something like that. But they used it where every single pitch, it just told the umpire if it was a ball or a strike, and he had to follow it.
Right.
I did not really like that. And we were worried about guys who can make pitches break that much, just clipping the very bottom of the front part of the strike zone was something that ends up in the dirt. there was a concern with that. So I was against that. Last year, I went to AAA Indianapolis, where Paul Skeens was pitching, to watch. And I saw Yasmani Grandal twice challenge a 3-2 count where he thought he walked. And both times, the ABS system within about 3 seconds showed that he was wrong and it was actually strike three. And I was like, this is amazing because it's not every single pitch. It's just not going to the dugout where, remember the first year of replay, how horrible it was when the managers would walk out on the field and take forever and see if they wanted to challenge it. It was horrific to watch. This is right away, catcher, hitter, or pitcher. Right away, just your gut feeling is, that's a miss at a big spot, so I'm going to tap my head. And they're limited. That's the key. It can't be to the point where it was, where Chris said, we don't have to be perfect. Well, you don't, but this isn't striving for perfection. It's each team gets two, and you're probably going to keep those in the holster for the late innings because if there's nobody on base in the fifth inning of a four-run game, why would you waste it? Yeah. But if the bases are loaded in the bottom of the eighth and it's tied and the umpire misses a pitch that's a foot outside and calls strike three, all of a sudden you tap your head and that gets fixed and that's a ball. Now you walk in a run, and now that mattered. That swung the game. So we have the ability to fix game-altering calls that would be living in infamy, basically. And I would have to think, I've obviously never officiated at a high level, but I used to do high school football. On the times that we went back and watched videos and I saw that I missed a call, it is a heart-sinking, just horrible feeling. You never want to be the person that costs somebody something by an honest mistake. This is just another avenue to fix an honest mistake. And honestly, it's so hard for umpires these days because the pitcher's stuff is so good and they're supposed to know the strike zone within, what, a centimeter? Come on, man, with a naked eye. I don't mind giving them a little help in the late innings.
So how long before baseball agrees with you and, you know, says, okay, let's next season. Okay.
Yeah, I think that since it in the spring, there's only been Max Scherzer who complained about it, but he complains about everything.
We've talked about him a lot in this whole complaint.
Yeah,
that
he really does. He complains about every aspect of everything. So
yeah, he does.
That doesn't even move the needle. So it's, I think that they're seeing one of the big ones is when the pitcher misses a spot, but it ends up in the strike zone and the umpire gets fooled because the catcher was set up way outside and he missed in, but it was still a strike.
Right.
The very first one fixed that. That's still a strike. The batter doesn't know exactly where the catcher is set up and know the pitcher missed a spot. You just took a pitch right down the middle. That's a strike. I don't care if the pitcher missed a spot.
It's good. Hey, you know what?
Are you quelling him again?
No, Scraby's right. I hate the idea that we can't ever make a mistake because the world is not, you know, perfect.
It's not.
But when Matt's
describing, why I was always against full right. on every single
yeah.
pitch.
Yeah, but when Matt's
too.
Describing with the head tap two times a game, I can live with that. You know, because
yeah.
I still remember Cronenworth struck out in a, you know, bases loaded one night, ninth inning with on a pitch in the other batter's box. And now it's 2 years ago, so it didn't happen that often, but that would have been a nice time to have it.
And, you know, you get so mad at the umpire,
yeah.
but, man, it's really hard to judge those things within
yeah.
the accuracy they're expected to have. But it's human nature. You get mad at the umpire. That's why I'm like, I'm sure they would like, if they missed it, to get bailed out by that challenge.
Yeah, I agreed. You know what I like? Matt, you're so nice to us to come on as often as you do, but what I appreciate is that you really enjoy talking to the fans out there.
You do.
And I really I just want to let you know. I
yeah.
appreciate that.
That's,
I can
it's
hear
about
it.
The best compliment anybody could give me.
You know,
that's what I care about the most.
Well, I just, you know, thanks. Because,
yes.
you know, you don't just come on and answer the questions. You're
no.
enthusiastic. You're into it. You're trying to inform our listeners. I know they appreciate it. I know I do.
You need to come to San Diego so, A, we could take you to a Padres game, and, B, you could come in studio with us
take
for an
to
hour
a Padres game.
I
you
agree.
Don't, you don't think he
well,
can get
been,
into
I've
the game on his own?
I've been in studio with Chris and Tony before at the winter meetings I came in you guys' booth.
Oh, yeah, yes. You were there, yes. I meant, like, in
yeah.
studio,
yeah,
in our humble
you,
abode.
Yeah. We want you on our home
yeah.
turf.
Yes.
All
right,
right
Matt. Thanks,
hopefully
buddy.
Soon.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks,
have a
Matt.
Good one.
Take care. Matt's.
I
turned off my own mic. Matt Snyder, boop. Yeah, that was not what I meant to do.
This
all right.
is a test
he
was, of
oh,
the
my goodness.
System.